During this journey of Lent, as we follow this path from Ash Wednesday to Easter morning, we reflect on and recommit ourselves to the steadfast love of God. And along the way on this journey, it reveals to us how what is truly life-giving is oftentimes quite hard. It's like stepping into a mountain stream, surrounded by the beauty of creation, but the water, so pure and clean, is a combination of rainfall and snow melt, so it is piercingly cold, almost painful to stand in. But it's also so refreshing. Or like when we cut our hand and we have to go see the doctor and we experience that anxiety and pain as the doctor sews us up with stitches, that we have to look away. We cannot even watch what she is doing. But we know it is the only way for the wound to heal. Or it's like that burden felt by every parent or anyone who has cared for a young person, where we have to muster up enough strength not to speak up or to intervene, but to hold our tongue. Because sometimes it's best to remain quiet. That what is truly life-giving is oftentimes quite hard. And as we follow the people of God out of Egypt and into the wilderness, we see again what is life-giving but hard. That they've already felt the threat of hunger and been surprised by the grace of God and manna from heaven, but now they face the next obstacle. They don't have any water to drink. And they go to complain to Moses and to God, asking, "Why did you bring us here if we and our children and our livestock are only going to die of thirst?" And Moses does not know what to do. He turns to God for help, and God says, "Take your staff, carry it in your hand, strike the rock, and water will pour out." That there are moments which we all experience wandering through the wilderness where we are looking for water from a rock. That we find God's hope in unlikely places. It's like venturing out, perhaps with the family, on a day hike. You've thrown what you thought are the essentials in a backpack, but it's been a while since you've gone hiking, so you didn't bring enough. You forgot about the hard terrain, the steep miles, and the annoying blisters. And there's that moment that happens that crosses our minds where we wonder, are we ever going to get to the top of the mountain? Our legs are tired. Our muscles are burning. Everyone is complaining. We ran out of snacks 2 miles ago, and now we just ran out of water. But then you look up, and there's a couple people hiking back down. They've already been to the top, and they can see the desperation on your face. Apparently, it says, "Give up," across our foreheads. And they say, "It's not too much further. You are getting close." And we feel this surge of energy. We have no idea where it came from. It's water from a rock. That we find hope in unexpected and unlikely places. It's like looking back on that moment where you saw your coach, the toughest person you ever knew, break down in tears. And you realize in the midst of your own pain that it's a good thing to show emotion. And it gives us relief. Or it's like watching your friend who's always been afraid of being alone stand on her own two feet because she wants to do what is right, regardless if it means she's standing all by herself. And it inspires us. Or it's like watching someone remain calm in the midst of turmoil and a crisis. And we realize the strength of patience and how it can lead us forward. And it reassures us that it's a type of hope which can lead us through the wilderness. And the woman from Samaria found hope at the well. It was unlikely because of that wall that had been built between Samaritans and Jews. And at first she was confused when Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water." Because she looked at him and all she could think was, "Where is your bucket? How do you get water from a well without a bucket?" But then she came to see what he was talking about. And she went out to share it with everybody else. And no doubt, people looked at her and wondered, "Where is your bucket?" But it's how we find hope in unlikely places. That like the people of God in the wilderness or the woman at the well, it is a journey. And we don't always see that deep connection between the soles of our shoes and the soles of our lives. But perhaps you have gone to a museum or a memorial that was created in the wake of tragedy. And as you're walking down the hallway, you round the corner and then you see that display with people's shoes. Shoes that were dug out of the rubble. Shoes that were found in the mass grave. And there is that chilling and haunting feeling because there is that indelible connection between the soles of our shoes and the soles of our lives. It is why the story of To Kill a Mockingbird resonates with people around the world. That no matter where you go, it resonates with people's lives because we are invited to step inside somebody else's shoes. And we not only learn empathy, but also we learn about hope. We learn how to see the world from somebody else's perspective, how to walk the miles that they have walked, to experience the struggles that they have experienced, and to discover where they found hope. That we find hope in unlikely places. the first time that I noticed somebody else's shoes is when I realized that my grandfather no longer wore shoes with laces on them. It was either slip-in or Velcro, and it was not a fashion choice. Not sure my grandfather ever made a fashion choice. He preferred clip-on ties. He chose clothes for practical reasons. But he stopped wearing shoes with laces on them because he could no longer lean over to tie them. He was able to do other things. He continued to make house calls as a doctor, just checking blood pressure and having conversation. But the hardships of our lives will limit us in real ways. But hope is adaptive. Hope does not promise that things will always be the same. It promises meaning and purpose. And hope can lead us through the wilderness because it adapts. Last year, we took a day hike to Mount Rainier, just outside of Seattle. And since we're from Alabama, we didn't realize there'd still be snow on the ground in late May. So we stopped by the ranger station, and they gave us some tips and good directions and recommended a particular hike that would be easy. And then we drove up the mountain about 20 minutes, and we could not believe the amount of snow was on the ground. The snow base was 5 or 6 feet deep, which meant all of the signs on all of the trails were covered up. They were buried in the snow. And not only that, when it snows, everything looks the same. So I started to get really nervous, because if we got lost, I had no idea how we'd find our way back. Fortunately, there were some hikers who had been there before us. So there were all these footprints in the snow. So we started to follow the footprints. And it led us to other hikers who had more experience and expertise than we did. And we made sure to stay really close to them. That when we're in the wilderness, we have this tendency to insulate ourselves, to look at the person who sits down next to us at the well and just wonder, where is your bucket? But we find water and hope in unlikely places. We did make it back from the hike, and we stopped to eat a meal just outside of the park as we were leaving at this small, unassuming-looking restaurant that served Nepali food. The owner of the restaurant was originally from Nepal. And as we're sitting there in this tiny little restaurant waiting for our food to arrive, we noticed there was a display case in the corner of the room. So we got up and we walked over there, and there was all this hiking gear and a plaque on the wall and all these newspaper clippings that apparently The owner of that restaurant had at one point recorded the fastest ascent of Mount Everest. That right there, in the middle of nowhere, was someone with such expertise that we find hope in unlikely places. Because an expert does not always look like an expert. And grace does not always look like grace. That sometimes we just need to ask the person who sits down next to us at the well. Amen.